much. Thank you so much. Yes, let me tell you what I always tell you, that if it was up to me, I don't have anything to give you. But the Word of God is rich. So if you came today to get something from God, I know you are not going to be disappointed. So just set your hearts. Just set your hearts, tune in. You know, like you turn on the television, it's like get on the right channels. So do that quickly, okay? Just get your hearts in the right place. Your family is going to be fine. All your, the good, bad, and ugly, it's still going to be right where you left it, I promise you. God's going to change you, but everything will be fine. You can get take care of things when you leave here. So this is your moment. This is your time. Isn't this a great church? Just look at all the announcements and the youth. And you know what? Why don't we as an army of women just pray, starting now if you haven't started, till youth conference, and just pray and bombard heaven like Pastor Jessica said, and believe God for a mighty, mighty move of the Holy Spirit amongst our children. Boy, do they need it. Our kids that are growing up, not all of them have foundation of their faith settled in their hearts. And as they bring friends, let's just believe God for an explosion of His power in this place with our kids. And God will do it. And this is an amazing house to give to. Just my little testimony here, Pastor Jess said, we just got back from Hawaii, and it's aloha and whatever else. It's awesome. But let me tell you, what we did is we got our tickets, our airplane tickets. My husband and myself got our airplane, two airplane tickets to Hawaii and back for guess how much? We used our flying miles because we all our tithe. We funnel through the card, and it's building up miles for us. Seriously, $100. I show you, if you don't believe me, it's unbelievable. I was telling my husband, are you serious? Is this $100 each? And he's like, no, he showed me, no, it's $100 for both of us there and back. And now you tell me God is not able. You tell me God doesn't care. You tell me God is not into blessing His children. So it was a real blessing. And today I'm so honored to be in the presence of greatness. Some of the greatest preachers in the universe are sitting on the front row. And some of the greatest women on the planet are sitting in the chairs. So we know that God is here and He has a word for us. Today's word, if you have ever wondered, and I know we all do, get to those moments that you think, okay, God, just, I need a bigger picture. I just need purpose. I need vision. I just need to know God. Am I on the right track? What is it that you have for my life? What is your desire for me in my life? Today's message is going to settle in your heart the place and the purpose God has for each and every one as believers. That when you walk out of this place, you should have no doubt what God's purpose and plan and place is for you in your life. So let's pray and believe God for amazing things. Father, we are honored to be in your presence more than anything else. Holy Spirit, we just love you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being the preacher and the teacher this morning. Thank you for delivering the words and the message, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are beautiful. We come and we say, Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Touch our hearts, Lord, with your word in this day, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever experienced how God speaks to you through just everyday, regular things? You go through life and you think, whoa, you just have a God moment about something that happened. It happened to me this last weekend. We have a house that we are selling. And we are moving from Loma Linda to Redlands, so just a couple miles. But we're selling our house in Loma Linda, and we had an open house. So we had all kinds of people coming through. I got to meet all the neighbors. Seriously? You want to meet your neighbors? Have an open house. They all want to see your house on the inside. So when they came in, I'm just like, are you in the market for a house, or are you a neighbor just looking? And so we just had a great time meeting all the neighbors. But one of the people that I met is a family that is here from up north, from out of town. And the wife just got a job at Loma Linda in the School of Nursing, and they're looking for a home. So we stood there and we talked, and they just started telling me a little bit of what they're going through. And the gentleman, the husband, was telling me that they are moving, and he's moving because his wife got the job. And I was, and he just started volunteering information. End up, he's a pastor. And he says, it's an absolute step of faith. I have no idea what I'm going to be doing and where I'm going to be working or anything like that. And it was a little strange to me. Usually, you know, it's the wife that says that the husband gets the job or whatever. And he said he's just trusting God. And then he starts explaining to me. He said, you know what? I'm just at a place where I just feel it's time for my wife. This is her dream job. And I just told her, if you want this job, take this job. I will support you. God will supply. This time, I'm following you. And I thought, wow, it just touched my heart. And I could not forget it. It just made such an impression on me. And then a morning or two later, I spent time with God. And here is where the Lord took me. And I started reading in Ephesians 5, verse 25. I was reading, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to her. When I read that, this gentleman came to my mind. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No greater one ever, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of the body, of the flesh, and of his bones. I looked at this and I thought, oh, that's awesome. A great husband is not a husband that gives you the biggest house and the biggest car and the biggest diamond. So, but husbands, just note, we want those things. We want the diamonds. We take it. But you know, I know many people who have the diamonds and the houses and the cars, and trust me, they are not necessarily happy. A great husband is a husband that does what the Word of God here says for him to do, who gives his life for his wife. Now, don't get sad at this point. I just want to hold your hearts if this is not your husband. You know, this man, they are older people. They've been married for a long time. Just hang in there. You just continue to give. But the point I want to make is, and then I started looking at this is what Jesus did for us. And I said, and I thought, wow, this is awesome. And then I was asked to preach, and I could not get over this scripture. And I was like, I'm not going to preach about marriage. We're not going to preach about marriage. And God said, no, look, just read on. And I said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. He has to leave. Leave, we all have those teachings lately in the church. And the two shall become one flesh. And then this is a great mystery. What is the mystery? The mystery that is revealed in the age that we are living, and the church is making known to the principalities and powers of the earth, like the Bible says, is the oneness. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is one. But also, how in the world do a husband and a wife become one? It's a mystery, isn't it? How do we as a church become one? It's a mystery. But this is the supernatural work of God. When we come into the kingdom of God, it is God's desire to make us one. Because it says here, this is a great mystery. And Paul says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And I was, oh, okay. So Christ came along. He did the sacrifice. He sacrificed himself. He did all those things that it says in Ephesians. He emptied himself. Then Paul uses that example to tell husbands. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church, who gave his life for her. And then we read, okay, it's not just for married couples. It is concerning Christ and the? Okay, Christ and the? We are talking about Christ and the church. Let's go back. We're going to linger in the book of Ephesians. So you can open your Bibles in Ephesians. I don't have all the scriptures on there. I'm not sure where exactly it was a lot of scriptures. I may not read them all. So just go in your Bible. Then I page back to 5 verse 1. Just one page back, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. We just read that with husband and wife, right? Are you with me? Yes? And then it says, an offering and a sacrifice. An offering and a sacrifice. Wait, let's go back. He says, therefore, be imitators of God, dear children. That means what Jesus did, he says, you go and do the same. And what would that be? Giving himself for us. He says, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So getting back to the marriage scripture, what that means, it is concerning Christ and the church. Now, Christ has given his all for the church. And now he tells us who are in the church to go do the same. Barely would somebody die for a friend, but who would die for a stranger? Who would die for each other in the church? Listen, ladies, we are called in the church, in the body of Christ, to imitate Christ as he sacrificed his life to die. And we're going to find out today why that is, how that works, and why does God expect that of us. So here's our topic for the day. We're going to talk about sacrifice. We're going to talk about the power of sacrifice. Because here is something that Jesus Christ says to us, in order really for us to be a church, there has to be sacrifice. And why is this? Let's go back to chapter 5 at the end. That says, that scripture, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, listen to me, like Christ left heaven. Yeah, that's a comparison. It says a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. Jesus, God is God. Jesus had to leave heaven to cleave to his bride. Now the Bible is saying this about the church, that we are going to have to leave and cleave. We're going to have to leave the ideas and the way of life of old and cleave to the purpose of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And what is the mystery that is happening? That same scripture, verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Listen, this is the mystery. This is the part that we're going to see out of Ephesians, is where we hook into heaven as a church, where we as a church become one. Jesus prayed to the Father and said in John 17, he prayed, let's just go there. This is powerful. We have to get this in order to get this message. Just go to John 17. Jesus is talking, and he talks to his Father. He's praying. He says in verse 21, that they all may be one. Get that portion in your scripture and get a pen and just circle one. Every time it says one, he says in verse 31 of chapter 17, that they, who are they? The church. That they all may be what? As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. This is powerful. Jesus is saying, when we become one as a church, we glorify God now, because now the world will see and believe that God has sent Jesus Christ. When the church becomes one. And then he says, and the glory, what is the glory? Is the manifest goodness of God, the manifestation of God's goodness to the earth, that the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Who's them? The church. It's you. That the glory which you gave me, I give them, that they may be one, just as we are one. In I in them, you and me, that they may be made what? Perfect in one. We are dealing here with sacrifice. We are dealing with the very mystery of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that Jesus came, he paid the sacrifice, he offered his own life, he sent us the Holy Spirit, he instituted the church. When Jesus died, all the Old Testament animal blood was not sufficient. We learned about that. When Jesus came, everything changed. When the blood of Jesus dropped to the earth and ran down that cross, a new covenant was instituted. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ was now established on earth. That is us as believers. And that is a great mystery that the Bible says in Ephesians that we are making known to all the principalities and powers and rulers in heavenly places. So the church is not just about earth. The church is very spiritual. The church is the very plan of God. If you can take anything with you, my heart is so full of this because I love the church. Church. It's the bride of Christ. It's God's plan. It is his will for us to manifest the goodness of God. He paid it all. He paid it all. And he says, now you need to become one. And I am here to tell you, there is no way the church is going to be one without sacrifice. You say, why sacrifice? Jesus sacrificed for my sin. Sure, he did. You are going to heaven. When you sacrifice, you are not paying for your salvation. Sacrifice goes from the greater to the lesser. That is why it glorifies God. When the husband dies for the wife, this is the great mystery. Will you sacrifice for somebody you admire that is somebody? Oh, yeah, sure, maybe. Sacrifice for somebody you don't know. Sacrifice for somebody that's in church with you that you don't even like. It's not about you. It is about the body of Christ, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, a living organism on earth that Jesus came and he instituted. He paid the price and he says, now, church, you go and show God to the world. You glorify. How do you do that? How do I show God through in my marriage? I didn't want to leave my country to come to America with my husband. I'm from South Africa. I didn't want to go. But if I didn't go in unity with my husband, there would have been no glory to God because I would have had a broken family right now. And you know, when you sacrifice, it's not like sowing and reaping. I sow, I wait, and I reap. Sacrifice is a different ball game. Sacrifice is giving of yourself, no ties attached, no strings attached. You just give. You know why? You give because Jesus gave first. You go first to sacrifice in your marriage, not because your husband sacrificed for you first, but because Jesus sacrificed for you first. So you go first. And in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same way. This is where we're at. If you've ever wondered, what is this all about? Why do I have to go to church? What is church all about? You need to get a revelation of what the church really is. This is the local church, the Rock Church and Outreach Center, part of the body of Christ on earth. Your destiny, your very purpose of living is wrapped up in the local church. That's scripture. That's Bible. That's even, if there's anything higher than Bible, there isn't. But it is the will of God. I need you to get a hold of this. That God sent his son. He left like a husband should leave. He left heaven. He even said on the cross, oh God, if you would just take this cup from me. Do you think it was easy for him? He was all God. He was all man. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. Why? Because he had to die. Why? Because we needed someone like us to die for us, not an animal. We needed the sinless divine blood that came out of heaven, shed on earth, taken back to heaven, sprinkled on the mercy seat so that you and I can have entrance to the presence of God. And when Jesus left this earth, he said, just don't be concerned. Just wait. I'm going to send you the Comforter. And he sent us the Holy Spirit. And if you read, we don't have time. Listen, ladies, all of this we're talking about is in the book of Ephesians. You go home, you study the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians is about the birth of the church, the purpose of the church. All of Ephesians talks about the church and what Jesus has done for us. He has come to earth to establish the body of Christ, and it's you and it's me. But the mystery that angels didn't even know about, the mystery is the oneness. Because when we are divided, think about a body. If my ear says, I don't like this head anymore, I'm just going to go sit on the bench. I can't hear, and the ear is dying. Or a body that's this arm wants to go this way, and the leg here, and you know, it's like, you can't do anything. It's not about your comfort. It is not about the comfort of my hand. It is about my hand attaching itself to this body and say, I'm submitting to this body. I'm submitting to every member of this body. I'm going to sacrifice what I really want to do. And I'm going to come under the headship of Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church. And I'm going to walk towards oneness. It's spiritual, ladies. It's all about the church. You cannot be talking about the church any which way you like. You be very careful. You cannot say the church, this and the church. Oh, be very careful. You don't want to walk where angels fear to tread. So if you've been talking against the church, you better fall on your knees. Ask God for forgiveness. Get up from your knees and be ready to sacrifice and say, Lord, for the sake of the oneness in the body of Christ, I give my life. It's not for your salvation, but it's so that the very purpose of the Creator of the universe, the very purpose that he had with us on earth, can be fulfilled. Because when you're in unity with the body, you prosper, and the body prospers. But more than that, it brings glory to God. It creates unity. The word unity means one. Now that's a mystery. Again, I say this because, boy, is that hard. Chapter 1, the last verse, Ephesians chapter 1 says, oh, let's just read the whole thing here, 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of it in heavenly places. Listen, this is where it's at, ladies. What Jesus has done for us. We've been talking about Christ the King. Seated at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality. Those voices that want to come talk to you when you are vulnerable. Boy, was I vulnerable yesterday because I am in fear and trembling standing up here. Speaking the things of God, because I just can't do it without God. And every voice that has ever spoken to me badly had come against me yesterday. And I just had to fight through every one of them. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but in age to come. Stay with it. And he, Jesus, put all things, say all things, where? Under his feet, and gave him, who? Jesus, to be head over all things to the... There it is. You want to go out alone and do your own thing? God bless you. Don't. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills all in all. Ladies, it is all about the church. It's all about God. Yes, it's all about Jesus, but it is all about the church. And the desire of God, you need to know that Jesus came and with his blood instituted the church. And this is where you read about it. Here's my definition. My definition for sacrifice is so long that I just made it the elements in sacrifice. I asked them to put it up there. Listen to this. This is what constitutes a sacrifice, okay? Willfully, think of Jesus, think of the husbands, think of us in the church. Willfully giving up with no strings attached what is of great value to you that causes loss and possible pain, most probably, in order for God to be glorified, His church to be in unity, and someone in need to benefit. I mean, this is big. This is big. For God to be manifested on the earth, for the church to be in unity, so that we can glorify God. People fighting all the time. Does that glorify God? Does not glorify God. So that we be in unity and someone will benefit. Got a couple of quotes here. Martin Luther King said it so well about sacrifice. Human progress is neither automatic or inevitable. Every step towards the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle. The tireless exertions and passionate concern of dedicated individuals. It is not enough to say we must not wage war. It is necessary to love peace and sacrifice for it. This is what he said. Okay, here's somebody that wrote a book about heaven. Sometimes when you sacrifice something precious, you're not really losing us, because I'm here to tell you, when you sacrifice, just say goodbye to it. Just say goodbye to it. Then it becomes God's business. And I tell you, let me just get back to this. In my life, it's been more than 30 years. And I look back and I say, God is faithful. Ladies, God is faithful. I think of the times that I suffered and I grieved and I cried over so many things. I can look back and say the good, the bad, the beautiful and the tough. It all comes together at the end. But listen to this quote. It's beautiful. It says, sometimes when you sacrifice something precious, you're not really losing it. You're just passing it on to someone else. People talk of the sacrifice I have made. This is David Livingstone. In spending so much of my life in Africa, it's empathetically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. How about Mother Teresa? She said, a sacrifice to be real must cost, must hurt, must empty ourselves. Give yourself fully to God. He will use you to accomplish great things on the condition that you believe much more in His love than in your own weakness. So when you sacrifice, don't have the strings attached and want something to sacrifice. Give away. Be the least. Be the least and give it away. Because, you know, I'm not telling you, really, it's not going to come back. I'm saying it may not come back in this life. Because I want to go as far as say most of your sacrifice will come back in eternity. It is about eternity. We are in a human experience. And sacrifice for God, listen, sacrifice for God and for the sake of the unity in the body of Christ, we are now busy with heavenly things. So that sacrifice for the body of Christ, the reward of that, I want to think, is almost too precious for earth. I'd be okay with having mine in heaven. Is that okay with you? Is that okay with you to be humbled? Is it okay for you to be humiliated? Is it okay for you to be the least? Is it for you to suffer pain through sacrifice? Because when we talk about the church and the body of Christ, we're on holy ground. It's the bride of Jesus Christ that cost heaven everything. It's going to cost us everything too. It's going to cost us to empty ourselves and say, God, what is it that you want? But you know, If you're in God, in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You almost don't have to ask. The thing that bugs you, the thing that just gets you so irritated. Gosh, I thought I had no buttons left. Just when I think I've dealt with all the buttons, somebody pushes a button again. The other day, I got all uptight with somebody in customer service about something. Before I knew it, we were back and forth in emails, and I'm telling Aaron, you don't know anything about customer service, but you don't know that. And I stood back, and I'm like, woo, who did just do that? It was me. I hope she was in another state. I hope it's not any one of you. I was ashamed. I thought, okay, you know, we'll suffer for one another and sacrifice for one another, but it's also about your testimony, so that's just a piece of my weakness. It's like, whoa, man, my buttons got pushed there, and the enemy knows, and you know what? He will use the sister sitting next to you in the church to push your buttons. What are you going to do? Are you going to respond? Are you going to react? So I wish I could go through the book of Ephesians, but what I want to say about this, when you go through Ephesians, it is a book about what Christ has done for us, the establishment of the church, the scope of it, the fact that it transcends earth. It is has to do with heavenly places, what happens in the church. Let me give you another scripture about that. Chapter 3, verse 10, to the intent, 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What is the mystery? It just in verse 4, 5, and 6 talks about the mystery of Christ. Look in verse 4, so if you don't believe me, look in verse 4, okay? The knowledge of the mystery of Christ, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of what? The same body. And then he talks in verse 9 about this mystery of oneness, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden. That is why it's called a mystery. That is why it was revealed when Jesus came and died. His blood opened the mystery into God, which created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. What is the manifold wisdom about? About the mystery, about the oneness, about the power of oneness in Christ, about the church. Made known by who? The church. To whom? The principalities, powers in heavenly places. Keep reading on. It's what happens in the church is very spiritual. And the bottom line is, how uncomfortable are you willing to be? How much are you willing to hurt in order for God to be glorified by sacrificing for one another in the body of Christ, in order for us to become one? Okay? So let's look at a couple things. To keep the unity through sacrifice. Let me go back to Ephesians. Sorry. One more thing. In Ephesians, you know what is beautiful to me? When you keep reading Ephesians, it talks about the body and what Christ has done, and how we in the body of Christ, through the power of unity, now glorify God and bring this wisdom to the powers and principalities in heavenly places. Now suddenly, in chapter 4, it starts turning. And you know where it's turning? It's turning to relationships. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, we know what that means. Look back what we just said. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul was in prison when he wrote that, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Read that. It is about unity. It turns to relationships. It turns about equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That verse, we all know, the fivefold ministry. And it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith. It's not about being a pastor, being an evangelist, being a prophet. Guys, it is about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry until we all can be in unity and become one. It is not for me. It's not for you. It is all about the church. Some of you seem like you don't believe it. You don't say anything. But it's okay. You just go read Ephesians, okay? Then he talks about how not to grieve one another, how not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And then 5 verse 1 is that chapter, that verse that says, you go do likewise like Jesus did. You go sacrifice. Bring your offering through sacrifice in order to be one. And then he starts talking about husbands and wives. And then he talks about parents to children, children to parents, masters to slaves, and slaves to masters. And then he ends up with the last chapter about dressed for war. If your dressing for war was only for your protection, God could have said, go hide in a fort. I'd be safe in a fort, right? If it was about my own safety. But he didn't say. He said, dress for war. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shoes of spreading the gospel, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. What is that for? The battle that we just talked about, that the church is raging against the powers of darkness. And I want to say to you, yes, it is for you to war to get every promise in the Word of God for your life and for your family. But I'm here to propose to you a greater purpose. We need to fight for unity in the church. Fight for it. Not fight each other. How does that scripture start out, the one that talks about we quote that, and about, you know, dress for battle, the helmet of salvation. How does it start out? Paul says, now remember, you do not war against flesh and blood. What does that mean? Flesh and blood was warring. They were fighting each other. And I know none of us know anything about that. We've never seen people in the church fighting each other. He said, your war is not against flesh and blood, because people were fighting flesh and blood. Your war is against the principalities and powers and darkness in the air that comes against you, that steals from you and steals from the church. When we are not in unity as a church, we are weak against the power of the enemy. When we are in unity, we are strong. And I cannot get away from the church being the body of Christ. And if we can just get a fresh revelation of what that really means, that we are the body of Christ. It is my prayer that God will give us a passion for the house. That this is not just a church we gather. This is a heavenly institution with consequences right into eternity. May God give us a love for the church. May God give us a passion for the church. Not because we're all perfect, but because Jesus emptied himself. He died on that cross. He bled and died on that cross so that we can be free and go to heaven. Yes, but so that we can be the body of Jesus Christ on earth. If there's one cell in my body, one cell in one of my organs that says, I don't like being in the lungs, I'm going to go sit in the foot. One cell. The foot is going to swell up. The foot is going to infest. The foot is going to go to war. Because there's something out of order there. And now I can't walk because this foot is fighting this stupid little cell that doesn't want to sit in its place. So the body starts fighting themselves. So the foot is now fighting the cell from the lungs that sits in the wrong place. That is out of unity. You know, this analogy goes on and on and on, and that is why Paul wrote that, and he said, this is a great mystery. Don't miss this. I'm talking about Christ and the church. The whole thing about unity. Do you think it was just God's idea to put husband and wife together and say, just work it out, ha, 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 I know you can't do it? No. It is a shadow of the body of Christ. It is a shadow and a type of God's sovereign, divine plan for his body on earth. And he's giving us examples after examples after examples, and still we come and we say, well, the church doesn't do that. The church says that they don't sing the right stuff. I hate the worship leader. I hate the pastor. I did that. It's like, seriously? I'm going to go to another church. The grass is greener on the other side. Listen. The grass is green where you water it. Maybe you are called to be a gardener. Find some water and start watering the grass. If you believe this is a godly church, or wherever it is you're going, oh my goodness, I need to get to my notes. But this whole thing about the church is so amazing. I pray that you will fall in love with the church, with the body of Christ, knowing that you are called to be part of the church of the body of Christ. That you see, my first point is, and I'm just going to mention you the points, I need to stop. See the church as the plan of God and submit to it. We had in our life, they have scriptures for everything, but we had in our early church, in our life, we had a church with a youth leader that just one day just disappeared, said, I'm out of here, and never really talked to us. It's just like blah, blah, you know, he was just up and left and said, I'm going to another church. Caused much harm to the body. That's why it's a sacrifice sometimes for us pastors to love people. We love, 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 love you. But it hurts many times. So years later, they came back and apologized. Life just didn't go well. They wanted to go into ministry. And things just didn't work out until they came back and said that they were sorry. They did the wrong thing. They did not discern the body of Christ. You should be scared. If you are scared right now, oh God, forgive me, but I can just tell you what's in my heart. You should be scared. Because it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. How are you treating your church? Second point, give without expecting in return. I want to show you a video. You guys can cue it and play it, of a little girl who gave and expected nothing in return.
Dr. Morris, dial 182, please. Dr. Morris, please dial 118.
Look, it's a standard blood transfusion. We're going to take about 2 units from your daughter. We're going to put them into your son. I think it's going to give him a fighting chance. All right, we're hoping it's going to jumpstart his immune system. She has the antibodies. He does not. We've had great results doing this type of thing. Do you have any questions?
All right, thanks, Doc.
Sweetie, you ready?
Like you're dying. If it's hurting, the sacrifice for the sake of the church of Jesus Christ, and you're asking, how long till I'm dying? I just want to tell you, it's going to be okay. You're not going to die. But you know what is going to happen? The glory of God is going to manifest on earth. so we can be the church, so we can be the body of Christ that gives honor and glory for the magnificent sacrifice that was paid. And that is why we are together. It's only because Jesus went all the way. That little girl heard the good news. It's okay, you don't have to die. You will not die. All that time she thought she was dying. She's giving her life. Jesus didn't have that way out. He went all the way till his blood was drained, all of it out of his body. Leviticus says there's life in the blood, the precious blood of Jesus, the sinless blood of Jesus came to purchase us, to bridge the gap that sin made between us and God. The blood of Jesus flowed to us. We are now brothers and sisters. We are now a family. We are now blood relatives of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why this is so big. So I want to say, I'm going to end this, so I want to say, if you are in here and you are not sure that you are part of the body of Christ, if you are not sure that you are under that precious blood and been washed clean, I want you to put your hand up right now. If you are not sure, if you should die today, that you're going to go to heaven, today you're going to make sure there's